Hey, good morning.
Good morning, Mac. How you doing?
How are you? Cheers.
I'm doing great. Oh, salute.
Thanks for being here today.
I got my smoothie.
Hey, Mortgage Mac here, and you know, I'm really excited to have our special guest here, Daryl Creasy. Daryl and I have known each other for quite some time, but just real quick, I want to give a couple of shout outs to Spoken About. Many of you know Randall Chestnut's been an inspiration to me and has really helped me put together this show today. And also Freddie Gorgeous. And I also want to give a shout out to Memorial Insurance as well. So if you're tuning in, please, I would encourage you to please comment. Please like, let us know you're there. We certainly would welcome your comments and suggestions. So I'm going to begin now and introduce our special guest today, Daryl Creasy, our first guest for our first episode.
All right.
So, yeah, Daryl, we've known each other for quite some time, have we not?
Yeah, probably what, almost close to 15 years now, getting on it.
Yeah, right? Yeah. So, you know, you know, during that time frame, you know, you've shared your story with me. I've shared my story with you, and you know, I really just love, you know, what you've done for a living and in the past, and how you just really just kind of have taken life by the bootstraps, and how you've endeavored to be an entrepreneur. And so I'd really like to make this about you today. And so I'm going to open it up and let you tell us your story.
Sure, Mac. Thanks. You know, it's a great thing to be here with you this morning. I appreciate you putting this together because I think there's good information out there we're going to be providing. I'll start out first with a little bit of my background. I'm from Texas. I was born in Houston, raised partially in Houston in Corpus. But at 18, I joined the Coast Guard and just left, went in the Coast Guard. I started out as an E1, which is the lowest you can be. You know, that's the toilet cleaners. And
yeah.
I made it all the way. Yeah. I mean, that's,
have you trained Derek how to clean them toilets the same way?
I actually have. You know,
it percolated
through me as a father to my kids. They have good work ethic.
Yeah.
And,
that's awesome.
You know, it's humbling, and it's unfortunate some people don't actually have to clean toilets because they, you know, they don't have the respect, you know. So when you start out that way, but I went all the way up to Lieutenant Commander, which is 04. And I was very fortunate to be in the Coast Guard at a time when, you know, they let us make something of ourselves. And I think I did. So I was a helicopter pilot, a rescue helicopter pilot for 10 years after I went through officer candidate school. And
yeah.
I went through naval flight training in Pensacola, where all the jet pilots go and that sort of thing. So it was a really good ascent to where I was at the pinnacle of my career when I retired in 2005. I had saved over 100 lives at that point. At least that's what
they
said.
That is amazing.
Yeah, the Coast Guard, we get to save lives every day, you know, as opposed to take them. So we count lives saved and not lives killed.
That's awesome.
But it's good.
That's got to be rewarding.
Yeah, it was. And it seemed like I was kind of put here to help people. And even now as a certified master inspector, I still help people. And I have more fun doing this now. After I got out of the Coast Guard, though, I did fly for Lifelight for 7 years. So, you know, saw some things. And everything I was seeing there was people's worst day, you know. Now I see people in their best days when they're having
fun. That is awesome.
And they're buying and they're excited. And I really enjoy helping people in the capacity that I am now.
So that's awesome.
I know, you know, you and I have known each other and sat on the back porch a few times and chatted. So you got a good feel for who I am. I have written a couple books. They're still out there on Amazon somewhere.
Find us a link and we'll post it.
I don't even know if they're still there, but they're not published anymore. So I don't know how many books are out there.
I've read your Coast Guard book about the rescues in Hurricane Katrina. I think I have a couple of copies of that.
Yeah, that was a good book. That was about five guys that saved 500 people after Hurricane Katrina. They're all friends of mine. They went over there, used a helicopter and, you know, the tools at their hands to save people. So
yeah.
Coast Guard's people don't know about the Coast Guard. It's a very good organization. They really help people a lot.
What do you think in your background growing up, what prepared you to I got to imagine that flying a helicopter is complicated to say the least and requires a great deal of, coordination and thought. So what do you think prepared you for that?
I believe is the way I was brought up. We were dirt poor. We had to do stuff for yourselves. So unlike today when kids, I don't know, they have all of the amenities and everything. They don't have to get out and get dirty and do things. We did. So I just grew up having to accomplish stuff. So when things are presented to you, you just overcome. You don't cry about it. You just get it done.
Yeah.
Like flight school, there was only half of us made it through there. So it was a 50% attrition rate. So you had to be pretty resilient. And it's just the stick-to-itness, I think, is what we're lacking today. But I got it from my dad, I guess. He was a bricklayer.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, that's awesome. Oh, he's a bricklayer, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a tough job right there in South Texas.
Well, I mean, even so. You. I mean, you do Ironman. I mean, I'd never even attempt one of those, man.
Yeah, well, that's because I don't know how to fix anything at home. So I got to stay away from home in case somebody asks me to fix something. So tell us about your current endeavor. I know that you've had several in our relationship. I know you've had several endeavors to be an entrepreneur. Some of those worked out. I'm curious, do you still have the truck with the Corvette engine in it, by the way?
Yeah, we use that as a marketing truck. It's a passion, and it's an expensive passion that people think I'm crazy. I even think I'm crazy sometimes for
getting
into a vehicle like
that. I think we worked on that for a good 10 years. I think you did. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's running out. It's out front right now.
tell us about your current endeavor. I know that you're working to benefit veterans now.
Absolutely.
And I think you just had to go through a name change. You want to kind of give us a background on that and tell us what you're doing for veterans?
Yeah. I've been a licensed real estate inspector for 15 years. People ask me, how did I get into the inspection business? And I tell them, I bought a house here when I moved here in the Coast Guard in Katy, and a guy came in, he inspected it. He was there for a couple hours. He handed me a piece of paper, no pictures, nothing, $375. And I'm like, wait a minute. If this guy can do two or three of those a day, I mean, that's decent money. And so I got my license in 03. We started out as Electric City Inspections, maintained that for a while. Then we changed names again, just as a marketing deal. Then I got into some people. Then I didn't really realize I was a veteran until recently. I mean, I know I'm a veteran, but I didn't realize there was such a need to help veterans in business. So we decided to use the tools at hand, what we had, to reorganize and become very veteran centric. So the new inspection company is AMVET Inspections, and the corporate name is My AMVET Company. We got some big plans with that. But initially what we're trying to do is, and we have two ready to go, is to train veterans to own, operate their own inspection and pest control business out of one truck. I've proven that a person can do that. One person, one truck can do pest control and inspections and make a pretty good salary. I mean, actually do very well for themselves and get a good base for growth. So,
is there a cost to do that? If a veteran came to you and wanted to endeavor to do what you're talking about, is there a charge? What does that, can you share what that looks like?
Well, we don't have everything hammered completely out. What we're trying to do, I have a veteran, a guy that's helping us with the VA and everything we have to go through to get things approved. But what we're trying to do is figure out how we can use their GI Bill and some of the voc rehab money through the VA to get them the training. Now there's companies that do that. So we'll probably outsource that in the beginning and bring them in for the actual hands-on training with me. I am a certified master inspector and I'm licensed by the state to train people. So we can bring them into the apprentice program, train them up, show them how to climb on ladders, how the inspection. The testing part of it to satisfy the state is not that it's challenging. The test is very, very challenging. But as far as the education stuff, it's just school. And it's all online now, so they just take it online. If they do our program, we have two women that are ready to go, two veteran women, actually, that are going to be our first two.
And that's awesome.
Yeah, one will be working down in Clear Lake, and the other one will probably be working on the west side of Houston.
Okay.
But it's going to be good. We're really excited about it. There's some more stuff we're going to be doing with that platform. But initially, we just want to start helping veterans manage a business, and it's a great outlet for them.
So How could somebody contact you directly? Do you have a website, or would you suggest they just look you up on Facebook? Do you want to share that with us?
They could do Facebook. We're still rebranding all of our stuff. I mean, I don't even have apparel yet, but names have already been gone through. We did have to get approval through a veteran organization to name it that. You can't just name something veteran or foreign. Interestingly enough, the Secretary of State requires approval, and we work very closely with the American Legion, and the state commander is the one that gave us our authority to name the company that.
Okay.
So they can contact me through ambetinspections.com. That's just A-M-B-E-T inspections with an S.com. And they can contact me through there if they're interested in this this project, and hopefully we can help them.
Yeah. So tell me, you know, when we first brought this up and we first talked about doing this show, I wanted to try to find some hook to maybe had a little humor associated with it. And I came up with the term, "This house sucks." And you said you had the perfect house. Could you describe that to us? And I'd love it if you have, I remember you telling me that you had video of this house, that this house was so bad that, it was humorous to say the least. So,
it was our galvanized house of horrors. I don't have the link right now. I'll have to find that for you.
I love that.
Yeah, there was so many leaks in this galvanized pipe that they had tried to fix. There was holes and stains, and it was a complete mess. But that's just one of hundreds of houses. I mean, we do constantly. We're doing inspections that are surprising. That we find things. We find just nutty things. Believe me, I don't even want to.
So, what's the craziest thing you've seen?
Well, we found human feces in an attic in a new house.
Okay.
Somebody had to go.
I don't think you need much of an imagination to figure out how that happened, right?
Somebody had to go, man.
Unbelievable. So.
Yeah, but we're training right now. My son is training. Derek is an apprentice. We have another young man, Joseph O'Neill, is training with this. We have a real estate agent up north or real estate inspector up north that works with us. He's a veteran.
Okay.
I'm a veteran. So, and then we're going to be bringing on these guys. But Derek came to me and he said, "Dad," he's like, "we just found something in the attic. You got to see him." Like, I
good. That's hilarious. So I guess if there's real estate agents out there that aren't currently doing business with you and they wanted to do business with you, that they would go to the same website.
Yeah, they share that site again? Or they could call us at 281-627-8552. That's the office, 281-627-8552. That'll go right to my assistant, Kirsten. And she's very helpful. She can do my schedule. She can quote anything, prices. She knows what she's doing. She's an apprentice inspector. She's been working for 2 years. So
she's come a long ways with you. She's been there.
Very proud of her.
Yeah. Yeah. She's turned into quite a team player for your organization. She's really does a fantastic job.
Yeah.
So I guess, you know, summertime's rolling around and it's getting really hot out there, Daryl. And, I think our overall objective for this show is to speak directly to homeowners, future homeowners, and financial literacy, and really just kind of invite folks that are in our community, that ordinary folks that are doing some, maybe extraordinary work or making an effort to try to be of value to the community as you are with regards to veterans. So, why don't you run down a few tips associated with what we need to be concerned about moving into the heat of the summer if we're homeowners or going to be homeowners here in the near term?
Yes. Some of the things on older homes, anytime somebody calls for an inspection, essentially I'm looking at the age of the home. If it's less than 10 years old, probably not that much wrong with it. 10 to 15 years old, we start looking at, things are starting to go bad. Water heaters, ACs, we're looking at that stuff. More than 20 years old, things have been changed, or they need change badly. So we're looking at the age, number one. As far as the heat goes, I was in a house the other day, and many times it's like this. But the poor AC was working as hard as it could. And yeah. It wasn't that the AC was bad, but people walk in the house and they say it's hot. Well, it's hot because the windows aren't sealed and there's no insulation in the house. In the attic, there was absolutely no insulation. It was this thick. So that's really, for efficiency sake, that's very important.
So is that that would be pretty inexpensive to do, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it's not that bad at all nowadays. They
most people could do that on their own.
Blow it in there.
Yeah.
I'd just hire the guys with the truck just to come
would
in
you?
And just blow it in. Or you can rent that stuff from Home Depot also.
I mean, because putting new windows in can be expensive, but obviously just putting insulation in can be really inexpensive to put it in your attic.
But windows, you can seal them too. I mean, many of them, some of these, I did an old house over here in Quail Valley, and the windows just weren't sealed. I mean, around the outside and on the inside. So they were just kind of breathing hot air into the house. You could seal that. That is, the windows still aren't the most efficient, but at least if you seal around them, you don't get that air exchange. So, I would watch out for a house that's hot and your AC runs constantly. Just look at some of the efficiency things on it.
Okay.
Go ahead.
What about other things? I know that, slabs, if we have a dry summer, slabs can be an issue. So maybe you could speak to that because it's,
all of that stuff. We got some good points to talk to, and I do want to talk about Harvey houses too.
Okay, but do that.
What I like to say is it's been an ongoing thing since Harvey. Right after Harvey, we first had all of the remediation, all of the tearing out of the sheetrock and that stuff. Now a lot of these houses are coming on the market. They've either been remodeled or they haven't.
Okay,
we do both all the time. But what I would tell people is be careful with the remodeled houses because not all contractors are the same. Let's put it like that. You get a house that was flooded, Meyerland, down in the Bel Air area. I mean, the areas that got everywhere, actually. I mean, the west side of town. But if it's an older house, I mean, it's 20 or 30 years old, they're going in and rehabbing these things, and they're not doing what I tell them to do. They consult with me many times, and I tell them exactly what to do, but they don't do it. They're trying to save a couple bucks. Not all of them are like that, but just be wary that you do get an inspector and you get a good one that's going to actually look at this house from the perspective of what was done, what should have been done. And really, like the pipes, these older houses have galvanized pipes, and I tell these guys, you're tearing the whole house apart, change the pipes, and they don't. Or they change part of the pipes. It's like, don't do that because those pipes are going to fail. And a smart agent, smart buyer is going to go in there and say, look, you should have changed the pipes. The house isn't going to be worth as much. There's going to be a lot of problems with this house down the line.
Yeah.
Pipes, electrical. We did one yesterday, and it had been remodeled. But we were able to tell when we went in that the slab was like 4 inches down on the left side.
Wow.
So instead of them fixing the slab in the process, they slap some lipstick on it. They're kicking it down the road, and they're expecting it to somebody to buy it that way. Then we get into real estate agents. Real estate agents hate to be dealing with inspectors. We get such a bad rap because we get put in between these deals.
Yeah.
Me personally, all I'm trying to do is work for our client. Let the client know what kind of a house they have. If the slab's 3 or 4 inches down on the left side, there's cracks in the wall, there's separations in the attic, you can see cracks in the slab. I have no alternative but to tell the client, your house is cracked in half. And then the agents are like, well, he crushes our deals. He's an inspector, he's calling. No. We actually, I teach a 3-hour CE now through Catherine Wheat School of Real Estate.
Yeah.
We bring a lot of this stuff to light. It's really important for agents to understand inspectors are not trying to be jerks. They have a job to do, and we are regulated by the state. And one thing I bring out in my class is I go through the sanctions that these inspectors have gone through and gotten fined or they've gotten their license revoked or suspended for stuff that, I mean, it scares me because I get up in an attic and these guys have been sanctioned for missing just little detail stuff in there. And these agents don't realize we have to be this way. We have to.
Yeah.
Does it have to be a 100-page report? No. But, we do have to call out what we see. It's our responsibility. So back to the Harvey stuff. I'm going in and I'm looking at it hard and I'm putting these remodelers on notice. Do it. Or when you go to sell the house, somebody's going to call you out on it. That's all there is to it.
Yeah. Do it right.
Yeah.
Do it right the first time is what you're saying.
Yeah. Change out that old FPE panel. Just change it up. Is it $1,500? Yes. But when I inspect it and I tell the client, dude, they should have changed that panel. Now you need to ask them for $2,500 because they should have done it when they did it initially.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we're seeing a lot of that.
Let's talk about slab maintenance. If it's hot, what what should people be thinking about this summer?
Here's the
I think it's going to be a hot summer. You know, the last time we had a really cold, we had a relatively cold winter. I think the last time we had a cold winter was like 2011, and man, the summer thereafter was just brutal.
And
it's already getting hot now.
It killed like 30% of the trees around here.
I
was flying for Life Flight at that time, and Memorial Park was brown. Looked like a brown patch.
Yeah.
And those were trees. These are mature trees that died. They had had spent a lot of money killing them.
So I'm sure that's brutal on the lawn, but also brutal on the house as well, especially the slab, as you were talking about.
So the down and dirty on that is our soil here is highly expansive. That's what they call it. It's plastic. Okay. They measure it on a plasticity index. How much does it shrink and grow? If you take a volume of this soil and you saturate it to the mean, say it's a cubic foot, then you dry it completely out, it'll shrink 30% from that mean level, that average.
Yeah.
And if you fully saturate it, it'll grow another 30%. So you have
60%
plasticity. The heaviest part of your foundation is the exterior beams. They go all the way around your house. They're thick and they're deep and they're heavy. When the soil dries out, the middle of the house stays constant because it's in plastic. It's in a bag, essentially. It's a cellophane bag. So it stays constant because it's not exposed. But the beams are exposed to sunlight and water. So when it dries, like we were talking about, I think that year we had 100 days of 100 degrees and no rain. Remember that? That's what it was.
Yeah.
It was like 95 days.
Oh, it's just brutal. Yeah, brutal.
It was terrible. But the soil pulls away from your slab because it's starting to dry out. It's shrinking down that 60%. And when it pulls away, the slab actually starts to fall because it's heavy. And then we get the monsoonal rains and then it pushes it back up. That sponge fills up and it pushes it back up.
So would you recommend somebody water that lawn, water that slab daily?
Absolutely. Maybe not daily, but at least keep enough moisture there that it doesn't pull away from your slab and start sinking. Sprinklers, soaker hoses, you know, that's the thing. I talked to a guy the other day. He said he actually moved his house with water. He measured it in the beginning, took him about 3 months, but he actually pushed his house back into place.
No way.
Yeah.
With water.
Theoretically it works. And he said it did work. So I'd maintain that. Something.
So watering is the best way to avoid that kind of situation where.
Well, two things. Watering it when it's dry and the opposite when it rains like crazy. Make sure that the water gets away from your house and doesn't sit there.
Okay. And that's what I'm looking for.
Yeah. If you have
water, negative remedies.
Slope. Yeah. Yeah. If you have negative slope, no gutters, that sort of thing, that's going to keep the water by your slab, and that's going to cause other problems. Here's a big one. And this happened yesterday on that house that was 3 inches down.
Yeah.
It was an older house, and their air conditioning drain line was right next to the foundation. So if you think about it, air conditioning is running like crazy. It ain't raining. One area of your house is wet.
Yeah.
Over here, you got a tree that takes out water from the soil. What happens is it pushes your house.
Yeah.
Almost the exact reason that house was tilted because of
that. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It happens. Absolutely.
Any other tips for summer that you might want to share with homeowners or folks that are going to be owning a home
just like I said, make sure it's insulated. Something else that occurred that we've been seeing here recently with the hot, cold weather, like we were talking about.
Yes.
There's a depth on these nails that they put the shingles on, okay? It has to go a certain depth depending on the shingle.
Yeah.
What we've seen is a lot of this hot, cold, transient, cyclic temperatures that we've had for the last few years, those nails wind up backing out. So if you look at a roof, and we've been seeing a lot of this lately, if you look at a roof, you'll see them kind of lipped up or cupped up. That means those nails are backed out.
That's what that is, huh?
Yeah, and if you see
that,
you can
go. I think I've seen that just driving through the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. That means the nails are backing up because it gets hot and cold, and it pushes that nail up, and it'll push underneath. And then this house yesterday, again, where those nails had been pushed out, was leaking. So it's leaking in the attic.
Yeah.
Through those little nail holes. Nail hole can cause a leak.
Fantastic. So, well, thank you, Daryl. We have a few minutes left. We've had a couple of folks join us today. Does anybody have any questions that maybe they'd like to ask Daryl? So we'll just kind of hang out here for a minute And
how many people are watching?
We have we've had up to 5, I think, at one time. So that's really, really good.
Yeah.
So the idea and the objective is to you know, kind of like what I shared, is we'll repurpose all of this and make a podcast out of it. But I just wanted to thank you very much for joining me on my very first episode of Mortgage Mac Live for your Monday morning commute. I enjoyed it. Did you have fun?
Absolutely. I love talking about inspections.
Yeah. And so I think that we're going to conclude today and just thank everybody for joining us and ask that you, if you have any questions for Daryl or comments or suggestions, please post them and Daryl or I will get back to you. Daryl, we'd love to see those pictures of that house that you, if you could find that video you were telling me about that you posted on your Facebook, that would be awesome. We'll post your website. If there's any veterans out there that would like to maybe look at becoming their own business person and entrepreneur specific to being pest control. Is that right?
And inspections and pest control.
Inspections and pest control.
They go hand in hand.
You know, without further ado, I just want to say thanks again. Please join us next Monday, 8:30 a.m. for Mortgage Mac Live. And in the meantime, hope everybody has a great week.
All right.
And we'll catch you later. Take care.
See you later, man.